I can't think of an example of a team that I've thought has been so dead and they may never win a game again because they've looked so terrible, that also looks so good and I'm thinking they'll never lose again, than the 2021 Yankees. The hot and cold of this team is remarkable when they're playing like they have over the weekend, and you're seeing what they did to the Boston Red Sox, and Giancarlo Stanton is hitting and Aaron Judge is hitting and everybody is contributing and the bullpen looks great. You're like, this team is destined for a championship. And then when they have these gaffes and the bad defense, which you had even yesterday, the bad defense, the terrible pitching, the bullpen is awful, a gazillion strikeouts, then you think this team has got no shot and they need to blow the whole thing up and God knows what the future of the team is going to be. But right now, they are in one of the peaks, not the valleys, and with a day off and now getting ready for the whole deal. When you get ready for this whole series with the Toronto Blue Jays, this is it. They're the Blue Jays and the Rays, and we'll see where they are. So I'm seeing this now. When I said it was not the Yankees' year, the Yankees are now 38-20 since then. So they have played 18 games over 500. When I said it was not their year, so I am here to declare, Boomer, this morning, but it's the Yankees' year. It is their year now.
You need to keep saying that it's not their year.
It's now their year, yes. It is their year, as you see what has gone on with this team. Absolutely spectacular. And now they're getting hot at the right time, just as you need to do in baseball.
I'll tell you one thing. I think a lot of people could take a page out of Giancarlo Stanton's book, because he was the Boo Birds fancy a couple years back when he first got here and really got off to a slow start. Well, he actually got off to a fast start initially, and then morphed into just an awful season. And then this year, when he was pressed into play, all of a sudden his play reflected the fact that he was a real baseball player, not just somebody sitting on their ass and swinging the bat four times every game. So it kind of shows you something about moving players to positions and positions where they feel like they're a part of the game throughout the game, where they do have to stay in condition. And obviously the move for Gleyber Torres to second base has paid dividends. Last night between the bottom of the seventh, top of the eighth inning, that was just a wild sequence of plays. I mean, that was crazy what was going on there with the drop pop-ups, the missed pop-up by the first baseman for the Red Sox, the catcher who's transferring the ball. It should have been strike three on Aaron Judge. I don't care what anybody says. And then he comes back. He hits that double. And then you get another monster shot by Stanton. And Stanton really deserves a lot of credit, because he has been the focus of so many Yankee Boo Birds since he's gotten here, because of his contract and because of the lack of production. Look, last year he carried them. He carried them in the playoffs. This year, for a good portion of the season, he carried them. And now, in the biggest series of all, he had maybe the greatest series he's ever had. I mean, he hit two balls out of Fenway. Out of Fenway.
And critical moments of the game, too. Yes. I mean, we're not talking about your classic, like, you're up 7-1, down 7-1, Stanton home run. No, I mean, these were critical moments, game-winning home runs in back-to-back games when they needed it the most.
And let's face it, it was a grand slam on Saturday night. That was, he goes up there, and I think David Cone was right on it. He goes, look, you got a pitcher that is really having a hard time finding the zone. What does he want? He wants to get strike one on Stanton. He doesn't want to get down in the count. And he grooves a fastball, and Stanton is all over it. I mean, all over it. So this is why the analytics gurus want home runs. You just saw why they want home runs. Because when the Yankees are hitting home runs, they are winning. And this is who they are as a team. And all I could tell you is that, you know, having a refortified bullpen now, and you think about, you know, their right-handed arms in the bullpen, and you think then, of course, Chapman finding his way and coming back to being the Chapman that they're paying him to be, they're going to be a tough out for anybody. And what's going to be interesting is going to be, who are they going to play if they make it to the wild card? Will it be the Blue Jays, or will it be the Red Sox? I'm hoping, if I were a Yankee fan, I'm hoping for the Red Sox.
Oh, yeah, me too. No, absolutely. I think most Yankee fans would agree. And as boring and plodding and long and frustrating as baseball can be, Giancarlo Stanton is the opposite of that when he's hitting like this. I mean, I probably watched that highlight of that grand slam 25 times just because it was that exciting and that crazy and that impressive. And you don't get a lot of that in today's baseball. I mean, he's an all-or-nothing guy for sure, but it is, I mean, when he is on like this, you're just like on the edge of your seat. you know, wondering what he can do. So, yeah, but it's all right in front of you, and there's still an opportunity for them. And would you be surprised? And the answer is no. Nobody would be surprised if anything happened with the Yankees if they ended up just falling off the face of the earth again in these last two series. Because that's what they've been. Hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold. I mean, at this point,
it's been hot, cold, hot, cold, but it's been hot, cold for long stretches.
Yeah.
And they're in the middle of the beginning of what I would consider could be a really long stretch here.
Okay.
And what, they got seven in a row, I think, now?
Well, let's take a look at when. Let's go back in the schedule, Yankees schedule. So if they. Why do we do this to ourselves? If they were to win every game the rest of the way out, that means that they would end the season on a
13?
On a. Yeah. Right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No, it's 6.
12. 12 game winning streak.
Yeah, 12. Yeah, and another 6. 12 game winning streak.
And then they would have to win the wild card game.
So that'd be
make
30.
A 13 game winning streak. You know, and by the way, I think Gerrit Cole got bailed out. Like, wasn't great. He was not great Friday night, but he didn't have to be.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think you put a, you know, tremendous amount of, they always put effort in, but I don't think this is one of these really high stress starts that he needed to have on Friday night. It's too bad that he's not going to be available for this Toronto series.
No, I know. That is unfortunate, especially when you look at who the Blue Jays are throwing with Ryu, Berrios, and Ray. I mean, against Tyone. I mean, you do have Tyone, Cole, and Kluber, and then it would be the Tampa Bay series that you would probably think that you're not going to see Cole to get him ready for.
Oh, Cole's the second. He's lined up for the second.
Second
start.
Game.
Okay.
And then, you know, you hope that he can, let's see, 1, 2. When it would be October 5th would be the wild card game. So you're talking 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I mean, he would be lined up. He'd be lined up for the wild card game. So things are right there for you, man. This is it.
I'll tell you what, they're built for offense. They're built to score runs. And, you know, that's what they did in this series. I mean, this series, man, they just came out clubbing.
Yeah.
I mean, those two home runs, those are legendary home runs, man. They are, I mean, I know it's not the playoffs. I know it's not the World Series. I know it's not Game 7 of the ALCS or any of that stuff. But those two home runs are especially the Grand Slam on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
Game. I mean, those are, that's like Yankee lore crap.
Yeah, no, I know, especially if they end up making the playoff. I mean, the fact that it's in Boston against the Red Sox and you're both battling for a playoff spot, the season has gone the way it is. Yeah, you're right. It is Yankee lore crap. That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Get a bat.
Yeah.
John Carlos. Fantastic.
It's Yankee lore crap night at Yankee Stadium. Yeah.
You know, and the amazing thing is all of these games are essentially playoff games for the New York Yankees.
Yeah, and their the Rays won't be, but and their last two opponents, you know, the Red Sox and Blue Jays. So you got some juice here at the end of the season. And at this point, it's like punch your ticket. I think there's going to be a wild card game that, well, I shouldn't say that because I jinx everything. Let's just see how it plays out, huh? I was right about the Mets being dead. I at least have that.
Please.
I was right about that.
That would be time to clean house as soon as the season's over.
Yeah, let's hope.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Do you want to hear how bad it has been for the Jets or no?
Oh, sure, Boomer.
Okay, well, they've been outscored 46-3 in the first half of the season in every game. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had 162 yards of total offense. It's the sixth time in the past three seasons that they've fallen below 200 yards in a game. That's the most in the NFL over that period of time. Now, they're 8-32 in their past 40 road games and have been outscored. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, let me hear it.
1,061 points to 598 points. They average 11.6 per game on those 40 road games. This is their 24th straight game without scoring 30 points. That's the longest active stretch in the NFL, and it's seven games longer than the next team. That would be the Jacksonville Jaguars, and it's four shy of matching the longest such streak in NFL history. That would be 28. And
so
they fell
bad
to 8-33 in their past 41 road games, like I told you. And it's just been – they've gone 22 straight drives without a touchdown. And they don't have a veteran quarterback. Now, look, they had Greg Knapp on this staff. And unfortunately, Greg Knapp passed away.
They honored him out in Denver yesterday.
Yes.
They brought his family out to the field.
I saw that.
Yeah.
And he had a great run there. And – they really miss him. I mean, he was going to be the veteran kind of presence, if you will, and was going to be able to, you know, because Zach Wilson has nobody to talk to. He doesn't have a veteran quarterback there. You know, there should have been somebody on this roster from day one that, you know, I'm not saying it was Andy Dalton. I'm not saying it should be Nick Foles. I'm not even saying you should be paying, you know, somebody $8 million to be doing this. You know, maybe it is a Case Keenum, somebody like that, somebody that has been around and has been through all of this so the quarterbacks can bond and then the quarterback has a place to go have a drink with somebody, go play golf with somebody, get the hell away from the, you know, the facility and bitch and complain. And the guy's got to be a listener and the guy's got to help him get through it. And then when things get a little rough, you know, maybe you throw that other guy in there just to take some of the pressure off of this kid. Now, maybe in 3 years from now, we're talking about how this kid has blossomed into a great quarterback and one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL the way that Josh Allen has or Justin Herbert has. I don't know. But all I know is that the way that they're handling him right now and the way things are going right now, they could do more to hurt him than help him. But then again, they know him better than I do. I just think that they made a really huge error in judgment and not having you know, I'll just point to like a Josh McCown or a Ryan Fitzpatrick or a Case Keenum, somebody like that, that has got the scars and the wounds of the NFL and can stand there on the sideline and the kid can talk to him.
Why don't you have lunch with him? You reach out.
It's not me. It's
go,
got, it should
go
be, it
into
should be, it,
it's, Dopo Argento in Southampton and the right, two of you can share some burrata.
Look, I want all these kids to do well. I want every single one of them. I'd much rather. I was dreading driving in, thinking, you know, here we go. We got to have. I was listening to Sal.
Yeah,
and he was screaming and yelling about this, this, and the other thing. I'm like,
well, how could you not?
I know, and I believe me, I'm right there with. But I also understand, you know, this situation that these kids are finding themselves in. I mean, Justin Fields almost got killed yesterday.
All right, let's get to Jerry here because I want to hear about what's going on. All right, Jerry, what's happening in the update this hour?
Powered by Superbook, now open with better odds and favorable prices. We're also brought to you by Winters Bros Waste Systems, creating a cleaner and greener Long Island. To learn more, visit wintersbros.com. Well, Boomer's on the jet theme here, so here's another poor play by the Jets in a 26-0 loss.
Wilson near side. It's picked. Justin Simmons. He's going to run this back inside the 30.
That is Spiro Dedis on CBS. One of a couple of interceptions for Zach Wilson, who had a really tough day in Denver as the Jets get clobbered and fall to 0-3 on the season as Denver goes to 3-0. Here was Rob Salas as he knows simply not good enough what his team put out there.
We've got to play cleaner. And so there's a lot of things where you can look at the game and say, hey, we've had our ops. But at the same time, if we're not cashing in on those ops, it doesn't really matter.
One of those ops would be the long field goal. That was waved off because they didn't get the snap off in time.
We've got to transition faster into field goal. We're looking for a shot clock reset with the ball being way downfield and all that stuff, but obviously they're not going to give it to us. They're standing over the ball.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
Or the play.
Yeah. Again, you know,
shot
again,
clock.
Right, so this
3-second violation.
This is a part of the head coach. This is a part of the organization of the football team. He's learning on the go too, as well. And these are things that are going to happen.
You know, Fleegs makes a good point here too in my ear, which is very loud, by the way. You have to whisper and remember this. Fleegelman hits that button. There's some sort of like weird thing that goes on, so it takes over my entire head, so I can't hear anything else. But he is right. Rob Saleh is the first person in the history of the English language that I have ever heard refer to opportunities as ops. We had ops. Usually it's ops, operations.
Operations, right.
Special yeah. Ops, whatever. Ops. That's an interesting one.
Ops for opportunity.
I don't think I like it.
Here's Zach Wilson. They lost 26-0. He's trying to be positive.
Maybe hard for people to see that, but we're learning a lot in those games. And people are going to hate, and it is what it is, but we got to keep that confidence, get in there Monday, and just be hungry to keep trying to get
in
that.
In fairness, they just wanted something better than what they saw yesterday. Here was one more. So is this harder than you thought now?
I wouldn't say harder than I expected. I knew it was going to be hard, right? I mean, you think about it, and right. You know, every single guy on both sides of the ball was the best player on their college team.
That is very true. And so they'll see the best player on their college team that plays for the Titans coming up on Sunday. We'll see if they can play just a little bit better. As for the Giants, well, they're 0-3 as well.
Young Waiku to win it for Atlanta. Snap spot, kick is away, and it is good. And the ball game is over.
That was Wes Durham on Falcons Radio. Coup, the 40 or 41-yarder. For the game winner, 17-14 as the Giant fans leave MetLife Stadium disappointed yet again. Matt Ryan threw for 243 and a couple of touchdowns. Here's Daniel Jones. Knows you need to make some plays in key spots.
These games come down to final drives and you know, oftentimes late in the fourth quarter where, you know, we've got to make a play.
All right, so a couple of things there.
He sounds like a sad cartoon dog.
He is sad.
But, like, I mean, when I listen to it, like, I feel like I'm listening to a cartoon bloodhound talk about, like, how things are going horrible in his life. He just sounds sad. It's like this is just, the whole thing, I guess, is sad.
The Giants are sad right now.
Yeah, they are. The whole thing's sad, Jerry.
I agree. Now, yeah. I mentioned a couple things there. He's talking about the final drives they have. They didn't execute. And also, the Giants had an opportunity.
Ryan takes the snap. He's back to throw. Retreats. Lobs it into the end zone. Nearly intercepted and dropped by Adoree Jackson. It was right in his hands and he dropped it.
And instead, you get another down. Then you get a penalty. And then you get a touchdown. And so, instead of it being late in the fourth quarter, the Giants with the ball up 7. You're tied. It's at 14, and that's the way it goes.
You know, I got to give credit where credit is due. Al Dukes put out a tweet yesterday during the Giant game, and Al, if you want to refer back to it, I can't find it right now, but it was perfect because the Giants went right down the field and settled for a field goal, and you were talking about that's the Giants.
Yeah, I was excited because they were like actually moving the ball, and then I said in the red zone they go deflected pass, sack, QB run out of bounds, field goal.
Right. Nobody could take the air out of a stadium like the Giants.
And they did. And Joe Judge knows a lot of missed chances.
You know, those are things we talk about in terms of having opportunities and making sure we finish. We got to make sure, you know, keep putting the players in the right position.
Okay.
Those guys play those plays aggressively to put themselves in position right there and get it. And obviously, things got to keep on working in practice. Yeah. Jugs, machines, interception drills, things of that nature.
Okay. That's where we're at. Obviously, a jug machine. Obviously, he's turned into Mike Tomlin. It's just he's saying a bunch of stuff, very complicated. And he's saying, obviously, an okay after it. That's what yeah. that's
what
he's becoming.
What is complicated about the jugs machine, and why are we talking about it?
He also likes looking right.
Look, right, look.
Yeah. Right there.
Yeah, look.
Right there! Blake Martinez knee injury, Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard hamstring injuries, Giants in New Orleans on Sunday.
Yeah. I think I saw an update on the Blake Martinez injury.
What's that? I did not see one.
It is
not good?
Not good.
Let me take
a
look
an update?
Here.
It's 7 o'clock in the morning.
Mike Garofolo from NFL Network. Blake Martinez has a torn ACL.
Oh, God.
Welcome to hell,
yeah.
Giants fans, as it gets even worse.
Good Lord.
Yeah, this is a...
That's bad.
Pretty bad.
Pretty bad.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, Giants-Saints on Sunday. All right, to the other NFL games, like the Sunday night game. We heard it. How you heard it in Green Bay, the way the Packers beat the Niners. Here's how it sounded in the Bay Area.
Here's the snap. It's down. He has it away. And he has the distance, and it is good. The Green Bay Packers win the game at the gun, 30-28.
There's the final score on 49ers Radio. The Pack take the Sunday night affair in Santa Clara. That was Mason Crosby from 51 yards out. For Aaron Rodgers, nice to finally win here.
They beat us up twice in 19. Those were tough ones. Yeah, the road trip out west from Green Bay is always tough, but feels a lot better when you're going back to a win.
I would say his body language after the game said a lot.
Yeah, he was fired up.
He was really into it.
Yeah, no doubt.
We're talking about body language and everything else.
Here was Matt LaFleur on Devontae Adams. He took a headshot, came back into the game, had a couple of big catches on the final drive.
What a competitor, man. I mean, and then to go out there and have two big catches in the final two-minute drive, I mean, he is the ultimate competitor.
And certainly set them up.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah.
How about this? What quarterback has the most 300-yard passing games, 3 TDs, 0 interceptions over the past 6 seasons?
Aaron Rodgers.
He's on the list. He has 10.
Oh. Dak Prescott.
No, he's not on the list.
He's got to be something obvious here. Daniel Jones.
No.
I don't
know. Think about this. 300 pass yards, 3 TDs, 0 interceptions.
Patrick Mahomes.
Over the past 6 seasons. Patrick Mahomes is second on the list. With 11, he's tied with Tom Brady and Drew Brees. Each of those have 11 of those types of games.
I'm going to text Lee Becker to go
Kirk
take
Cousins.
That packet of stats Cousins, away from you.
Kirk Cousins has it, and he leads with 12 of those types of
amazing.
Games.
Amazing. Amazing.
Thank you.
Yes.
He hasn't thrown an interception, by the way, in the last 200 attempts.
Right. Nobody's been so good at being mediocre.
Vikings beat the Seahawks 30-17. Also, you had I told you I'd pull some Dan Campbell from the loss to the Ravens, 19-17, you had the delay game that wasn't called, then the Justin Tucker 66-yard field goal to win it, new NFL record. Fair to say, simply no words for him.
I don't even know how to describe it. I didn't think it would make it.
Yeah, well, it did make it. Coach, what about...
It shouldn't have made it.
I do, but I here's his answer about the delay game that wasn't called.
Yeah. There's nothing I can say to that because it's the same thing. Tomorrow you get an apology and it doesn't mean anything. You know, that's life.
That's life. And then I do like this. He basically put it on his defense because there was that 4th-and-19 conversion on that drive.
We still had an opportunity to... That was 4th and a long, long way to go, and we gave it up, you know.
Didn't get off the
field.
Wasn't
that Donovan McNabb to Fred X? Didn't he have a 4th-and-19 against the Packers to get him to the Super Bowl?
It was against the Packers. It was
Donovan McNabb.
Yeah, 4th-and-19. Yeah. It was. Was it a Freddie Mitchell, you're saying?
A Freddie, yeah, and they used to call him Fred X.
Yeah, okay.
Didn't they call him Fred X?
No, it was. I remember that. It was Brett Favre was still the quarterback.
Yeah.
Back then. Was that the 2000 and...
That was the
four?
T.O. That
Three
was,
or
that
four.
Led to the T.O.
It was
Super
a four,
Bowl
and then the... See, right, it was January 5.
Was
the Super
up,
Bowl.
Right?
Yeah, okay. Right.
And then I'll give you this, because Twitter almost broke when Gus Johnson is doing games, and you've got the Cardinals lining up for a field goal, a long field goal before the half.
Got it up! And short! Agnew brings it out of the end zone. Agnew still running. Agnew!
They still lost.
Yeah.
Put them in front.
He's so good at yelling, Gus Johnson.
I don't know what he's saying.
But he just says the one word, Agnew, still running.
I wish Kevin Harlan was doing that. That's who I wanted doing that. He would have gotten that 100% everything. He would have described the whole situation.
Yeah, all Gus Johnson does is just yell the name of the player.
Right.
But it's a TV call.
Yeah,
so.
That is true. Yeah. That is television. That's
Agnew! Agnew! That's basically what he was doing.
Also of note, the Chargers beat the Chiefs 30-24, and the Bucks lost. They
By the way,
the
it was a 4th and 26, that McNabb thing. It was not 4th and 19.
Okay.
4th and 26 was even worse than that.
How about that?
Yeah. How about that?
No podcast from Joe. No Jets podcast.
He didn't do one?
No, he did week 1, week 2. Nothing for yesterday.
Why I don't know how to upload this thing, bro. I mean, what do I look like, huh? What? Alexander Graham Bell? Huh? Well, what am I, Thomas freaking Edison? It says uploading, and I can't get it to freaking upload. All right, so you just get off my back. All right, it says it's up there. It's not up there. 8773. Wait a second.
You're not there anymore, Joe.
Oh, never mind. What do you mean there's no phone calls to a podcast? Bro.
What are you saying, Mike? He did. It is there now?
I saw the Instagram post. I think it said sometime on Monday we'll have it.
Okay.
The Instagram post?
He's on Instagram now? He hasn't had on Instagram. The real Joe Beningo.
Yeah, that's called his wife is doing that
this
for him.
That's awesome.
There's
but
no way he's doing that.
Why? I thought he
no
acted.
Filter, bro.
Oh, man, that's right. There's no filter, so it's got to be. Have you heard it, Jerry? Have you heard the previous two?
I have not. I heard the preview where he called it Joe Beningo's Oh, the Pain, Politically Incorrect Jets Podcast.
Oh, Politically Incorrect.
Al, have you heard it yet, Al?
No, I just heard the same thing Jerry heard, the promo for it.
Right.
I listened to both episodes, especially the one after the Patriots. It's exactly what you would expect and hope for from a Joe podcast after a Jet debacle.
Well, and is there cursing? Is he high?
No, it's not. It could have just as easily aired on WFAN.
Oh, okay.
But I think it's because it's what he's used to doing after a Jet game on the air. When there's a microphone in
that's
front
true.
Of him, it's what he's used to doing.
Okay.
That is true. While we have some time here, Yankees, Red Sox, Sunday Night Baseball.
Stanton is 1-for-3. Judge at second with his 2-run double. The Yankees have a 4-3 lead with one out in the top of the 8th. And the pitch, there it goes! Deep left, it is high, mid is far, it is gone! Another Stantonian home run. He swung the bat and touched it off, and it sailed high majestically.
Yeah, over the national sign, pretty wild. John Sterling with the call on the fan. That made it 6-3 in the 8th, 6-3 the final. It was also right after the Aaron Judge 2-run double to put the Yankees in front as they complete the sweep and now move into the top wild card spot in the American League. Aaron Boone says, what's up? What's up? We're laughing. What's up?
No. It's just that I found Joe's Instagram account.
Oh, okay.
And it's just all it is pictures of his sponsors of his podcast, just one after another after another.
Do you think he has a sales staff?
I mean, maybe. He's got a lot of them.
I mean, we've been doing the podcast for 7 years. We don't have sponsors. Joe's done two of them. You tell me you got pictures of sponsors?
Yeah.
Now, what are we doing? What are we doing?
It's probably different rates, I would say. You know, that's
I'm sure they are.
Part of it. Yeah.
We have a track record and hundreds of thousands of downloads. Not one sponsor. Good God. Give me a sponsor. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, I'm not going
Here
to
is,
do that.
Here is Aaron Boone.
Maybe it was inevitable that we hit a little bit of a rough patch like we did. But I don't think these guys ever, and I know you got probably sick of all of us saying it, ever lost any confidence.
I guess. I mean, I suppose. They were losing a lot, but here they are. They've won six in a row now. And by the way, that home run off of former Yankee Adam Ottavino. You got Chad Green, the win in relief, for Aroldis Chapman, the save. And so we're set up for the final week of the baseball season. Yankees have three with the Blue Jays starting tomorrow before they close things out with the Rays at home over the weekend. As we mentioned, they're one in front of Boston now for the first wild card spot, two in front of Toronto, who are trying to save their playoff lives. Should be an interesting series for sure. The Cardinals have won, count them, 16 straight games. They beat the Cubs yesterday 4-2. The Brewers, however, clinched the division with their win over the Mets 8-4, and the U.S. beat Europe 19-9 to win the Ryder Cup.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Boomer at his golf tournament today on Long Island. I was thinking about stopping by on my way home and just joining your foursome. Hit a couple balls now that I am a golf veteran after playing my first round of golf ever. So if you don't mind, I'll get somebody to hop in the cart, and I'll go up there and meet you on the hole, and I'll just hit a couple balls for you. Is this scramble format, or are you playing your own ball?
Playing your own ball.
Oh, here, okay.
Man.
All right, I'll just play a hole with you.
Best ball, two-man best ball golf tournament, much like they play in the Ryder Cup.
Oh, yeah. Look at me here on CBS Sports Network.
There you
Bam! Look at that.
Nice swing.
Yeah! Are you giving away a car if someone gets the closest to the pin or the hole-in-one situation again?
No, there are no cars available anywhere.
No cars available.
No cars available anywhere.
My goodness, what a bummer.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of going on all over the place, and kind of understand it. We're going through
A goddamn pandemic.
That's right. So, you know, I just wanted to tell you that it, for all of us NFL fans, and for those of us who watch these games religiously every single weekend, and for those of us that were lucky enough and privileged enough to play in the league, understand how hard these guys are working to try to win and how miserable it is for, like, Joe Judge to wake up this morning, Daniel Jones to wake up this morning, Robert Saleh and his coaching staff, of course, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, you know, had a real come to Jesus moment yesterday in Cleveland. And I understand that, you know, just like everybody else who has ever played or coached or general managed or even owned a team, understand what it's like to lose. And then when you lose on just a crappy call, like the way the Detroit Lions lost yesterday on a 66-yard field goal, which was amazing by Justin Tucker, but it should have never been from 66 yards. It should have been from 71 yards.
Well, they might have run a play, or who knows what would have happened
after
that.
Well, they did run a play. They ran a play, and they threw the ball out of bounds.
I'm saying it could have been a different play because they wouldn't have thrown a ball out of bounds because they had to get more yards. So it could have been a field goal that was even closer.
Yeah, but anyway, listen, if it happened to your team, you'd be ticked off. You'd be pissed off this morning because the officials made a huge error in yesterday's game. So what I'm saying is not just so much about that game, but there's so much like inconsistency within the officiating. What is a pass interference? What is not a pass interference? In your game, the Seattle-Minnesota game, there were a couple of times late in that game where there easily could have been pass interference called against the Minnesota Vikings on DK Metcalf, and it wasn't called. But in other games, it is called. And I'm kind of doing a, you know, calling around, talking to different people around the NFL, people that have worked in the officiating apartment, people who have worked on the field. And my feeling is, and my sense is that the NFL has had like 8 years of just horrific drafting when it comes to the officiating. The amount of guys that have retired over the past few years and the guys that they've replaced them with are nowhere in any way, shape, or form ready for the intensity, the amount of rules that are going on, the things that they got to look for. And I'm not saying it's easy. It's one of the hardest jobs in all of sports is to officiate an NFL football game. And what has happened over the last 8 years is that the guys that are leaving are being replaced by guys that are not ready to take that spot and to take on that responsibility.
Is anybody ready in the NFL? These quarterbacks aren't ready. The officials aren't ready. Nobody's ready. The coaches aren't ready.
I think there are quarterbacks like Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Justin Herbert, and Joe Burrow that are ready.
Yeah.
But I think it's a big problem, and I think it's infuriating to the players and owners. They really can't say much after the game, because if they do, then they look like it's sour grapes. But I know for me, as somebody who watches these games intently and watches how they unfold, when it gets down to the fourth quarter and the game is in the balance on one possession here or there, any mistake that is made by the officials can cost one of these teams a game. You know, and I watched the entire press conference from Dan Campbell, the head coach of the Lions, yesterday, and I was sick for him. I was sick for his team. You know, they've gone through a lot of injuries. They went through the trade with Matthew Stafford, who's playing great with the Rams right now. Jared Goff got them in a winning situation. And all of a sudden, it's one bad call cost them a game. And a game is everything to everybody who's ever played.
So you don't buy the explanation at all about how the one, what is it, the back judge who looks at the play clock and he says when it hits zero, he looks up. And then if they're in the process of snapping the ball.
I do buy that. That's
okay, so then if that's how they do it, then there's nothing to talk about.
But there is something to talk about. So do you remember Dean Blandino, Mr. Dean Blandino?
Of course, he's now in the – he's now doing – what does he do, Fox now?
That's right, he's doing Fox now. He even came out and said that the Lions got screwed. So yeah. I like Dean. I've known Dean for a long time. He did a great job as the head of officiating for the NFL, was a really good communicator when there was a mistake that was made. I'm not sure why he didn't stay there. He probably should have stayed there. But I think that the NFL has got to do something about, in some way, shape, or form, just improving the overall officiating of its game. Because I just think from week in to week out, man, I don't really know what they're getting or what we're getting as fans. Now, there are some top-end officials. There's no question about it. But I'm thinking from the middle to the bottom end of these officiating crews, they're just in way over their head, much like Zach Wilson's way in over his head right now. Justin Fields is way in over his head. Trevor Lawrence is way in over his head. So I don't know. It's just – it's infuriating. That's all I know. And another team, and I could probably look at every single game tape and find 50 mistakes in every one of these games from the officiating standpoint. But when a team loses a game the way that the Lions lost yesterday, that's horrific. That's what the league should be trying to mitigate at any cost.
Yeah, I mean, they still had to kick a NFL record field goal.
Why isn't that reviewable is what I don't understand.
That's a different argument maybe, but I mean, I don't know. I mean,
it's like the catcher dropping a ball last night in baseball. Why isn't that reviewable?
Well, that
is like a transfer at second base where the guy going in second base would have been out. He would have been a force out right there. The double play obviously wouldn't have been turned. That's exactly what happened last night behind the plate for the Red Sox.
Yeah, both those things, I suppose. But then again, if the way they do it is the clock goes to zero and then they look up, then every single time that happens, a challenge flag would come out, and we'd be dealing with that whole thing with delay of games forever.
This was more than the lull that Coach Cowher was talking about in the postgame show. This was a legitimate 2 seconds. Now, you guys wouldn't have seen it here because the Jets were in the late window on CBS, but we had this whole debate with Gene Steratore on our set and everything else, and I was just like, hey, and Gene was trying to be – he's always going to be – understanding to the officials' plight and some of the issues that they have that we don't understand. So I take everything that he says and I try to think of it through the way that an official would think through it. But I said, hey, Gene, you know, I don't know. I couldn't walk into that locker room and go tell Dan Campbell that, you know, I just screwed up on a play of that magnitude, that where my team has been playing its ass off and they're 0-3 and they got nothing to show for it, and just how difficult that must be for him and his fans and of course, their team. And then they got to go to work today and they're going to be miserable.
Yeah, but I mean, this team wasn't going anywhere this year anyway, so they were gonna be miserable no matter what.
Doesn't mean anything.
We see bad calls all the time. I'm just like, it's like tough. Deal with it. Every team deals with these bad calls. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and cry crocodile tears for the Detroit Lions.
Your team got a couple breaks yesterday.
So what?
But
it happens to everybody. They'll get screwed the next week. It's like, you know, it's like I don't know what to tell you. I mean, every week to say, what are you gonna do? Play whack-a-mole with bad officiating? It's never gonna change. Every single year, it's like the same tired ass conversation about how officiating sucks. It's never going to change. It's never going to change. It's never going to get any better.
It can get better if how? The NFL it takes it more seriously.
Well, don't they take it seriously?
They
don't take officiating seriously?
That's probably too strong for me to say. I would say that they need to take it more seriously. They need to be more involved. The whole thing about the full time officials and all that other stuff, I don't know that. But I think what they should do, what I would do is I would have four areas of the country where my officials go as if they were an NFL football team, and they run through everything, and they make sure that when Sunday comes, they are buttoned down, locked up, and they understand exactly what they're doing.
Okay, sure, but I mean, don't you think that even with the training that they have now, zero means zero on a play clock?
I think it also has to do with experience. Like, where are you coming from? Like, are you coming from a Power 5 conference? Are you coming from one of these FBS conferences? I mean, like, where are you coming from? Or FCS conferences? Where are they getting their officials from?
I mean, it's an extremely difficult job with the way that the cameras are and everything else. I mean, it really is not easy. And it's hard to call. I mean, I couldn't even imagine being out there trying to make that call, a judgment call, especially with things that aren't reviewable.
Yeah, but you know what I think? I think yesterday that because of the way that game ended and because of the helter-skelter nature of the last couple plays, that, you know, officials are human beings too, I try to say to myself, and sometimes they lose their way. They forget what their responsibilities are, and all seven officials out there have different responsibilities. And this is the back judge. The back judge should be looking right through the offensive line to where the down clock is, and he should be able to see that, and it should be an easy thing for him to throw the flag on. And this was not a lull. This was a 2-second delay where it was clear that that clock had already run down and expired. That's all right.
Coming up next, we are going to introduce you to Aunt Tiki and all the great things she has to say about her nephew. If you haven't heard this yet, you don't want to miss it.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.